dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello there, SVC fans, and welcome in once again to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox. This is show 197, in case you're keeping track, and we are in our seventh season of doing this, and it's all brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. You will find it back there. It's open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Give them a call, 740-773-7529, and look them up on the web where you can find all kinds of good information, including a wonderful menu that just keeps us all salivating at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. We appreciate their being with us for all seven of these glorious, wonderful seasons. As we say hello to the two sports nerds to my right and left, one first, the elder of the two, but not by much, Mr. Shane Combs of SBC Sports Zone. How are you doing, Shane?
Doing great, Bruce. How about you this week?
I'm doing okay. We got lots to talk about, and we're going to bring in our other young man, Mr. D.R. Webb, the one and only Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette. How are you, Derek?
Good, Bruce. Good to be. Glad to be here. Excited for this week.
We're glad you're here, too, because we have so much more fun cutting on you in person sometimes.
Yes, there
so.
You go.
Well, we're going to start this week, show 197, a little bit of, I guess this came through inbox, our mailbox. It also came through a couple text messages. And Shane, it sounds like you may have had some face-to-face conversation. And that piece of feedback throughout the first half of last week, anyway, was we need more football. While they respect the website, they think it's wonderful that we take pride in, of course, volleyball and golf, they ask the question, why a lack of football on last week's show? And since you and the writers are responsible for preparing our agenda, we thought we'd come to you and get the straight poop.
Well, I think that's fair. Yeah, I do apologize to some of our football listeners. As I listen back to the show, I certainly see where they're coming from. I think we have talked a lot of football throughout the year, but last week we did have maybe a little less on the show, and I think we do take a lot of pride in our volleyball and golf topics, and I won't apologize for that.
Sure.
I think also in our football coverage, I think as the round table had started to grow over the last year or two, I felt like a lot of these topics can be addressed in more detail there. I know in the last couple of weeks, maybe some frustration from the audience or disappointment from the audience where the round table hasn't been able to go. And you know, we'll give Derek a chance to comment on that. I think their hands are tied a little bit. And I think even though I think the Gazette's really on to something, I think that their hands are tied in terms of actually making that a go. But again, no excuse here. I mean, we still have to get it in. I know last week we ran late anyway and had some features on volleyball, some great emails on volleyball and so forth. The only thing I will throw out to the football people is get more comments into us, you know, push us a little bit more on some of those topics that you want to hear. And as far as the round table goes, Derek, I know that you and I have a ton of fun doing this. We have a ton of fun doing that. As you've been able to put it out on live Facebook, chances to listen back have went over really well. But schedule wise at the Gazette, as you and I talk more and more about it, as much as we agree that there is something there that the fans really seem to enjoy, not only live but a chance to listen back to it throughout the week, it's just kind of your hands are a little bit tied sometimes, right, when it comes to trying to make that happen every Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you get later in the season and you know, as we've talked about tournament times coming up, we're going to talk about that, you know, here in a little bit. But, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, I've went to cover something on a Wednesday, or actually, and as you know, and as the readers and listeners know, you know, Mike Throne, our editor, he hasn't been able to be there pretty much at all this year, just because of his daughter. She's a senior soccer player for Southeastern, and he didn't want to miss any of those moments either. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Either I go to a round table, or I miss, you know, a live event, or I go to a live event and miss the round table. So, I guess that's what comes with, that's the nature of having, you know, one sports writer in 11 schools. But that doesn't mean anything. You know how I am. You know, I love this job. I came back for it because of that, and you know, just kind of had to go with the flow sometimes and trade punches. That's kind of what I'm doing.
Well, and Bruce, real quick on that, I think I'd throw in that that's what SVC Sports Zone was set up for 10 years ago. And so when I hear that kind of feedback from Derek, I take a lot of notes on what he's saying, because I think there's a lot that businesses can benefit from this. I think we have a hometown here that really likes that, some of that coverage in the middle of the week. So I think that, you know, we can jump in and continue to use SVC Sports Talk as a different type of media source to help in that way. So I certainly respect that, and hopefully that the businesses out there and some of the different people around the area will really get behind some of the sports talk, because, man, it's an opportunity to really talk about a lot of kids and a lot of programs.
All you have to do is just remember what it was like before Derek came back.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just ask the spring sports last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was some legitimate discussion at that point about, you know, the fact that we were really missing him. Of course, Brock had left by that time and was headed that way. And so, yeah, we may have slided a little bit last week, but we still got it in. We still had a podcast. We still talked some football. So
I think it's going to make up for it this week.
Yeah, so it looks like as I look down the agenda that we will. And that's what I was going to say, is that was some of the football feedback from the first half of the week. Next, if you're on any form of social media, you can probably guess what was dominating the football feedback over the weekend. Well, we will move into our complete look at the inbox here, brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. They are your source for our, of course, SVC local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. Give them a call in Circleville at 740-477-9828. And they are located at 106 West Main Street in Circleville. 106 West Main Street. Well, gee, guys, was there anything that really took place this past Friday night? Yes, I do remember. There was football Friday night in the Berg just outside of Londonderry, Unioto at Southeastern. And Southeastern, of course, wins that one 18-14. Was kind of a crazy game. And because Derek was actually there and witnessed that and lived it, we're going to ask you, Derek, for your thoughts on the evening.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you know, I told some of the Southeastern kids after the game, we put them on Facebook Live and interviewed them, and I told them when they walked away, you know, in the regular season, in that type of setting, and I've covered a lot of football, that's probably the best game I've covered. You know, it did have a kind of a stop-and-go pace a little bit in the second half, but I think that kind of made the drama, you know, build up, you know, to the climax of that last play at the goal line there for Unioto. So, I mean, just such a well-played game. You know, if anybody doubted Southeastern after they beat Dane Trace, which I don't understand how you would after that, you know, now they can't doubt them. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it was a really big statement win for Southeastern. They came out and, again, everybody said, well, you know, you've had a good run, but this is the week it ends. And, you know, I think they love the underdog role. I mean, they come out every week, you know, some people, including myself, I won't lie. I mean, Shane, the last 2 weeks, I picked Dane Trace and Unioto, and they proved me wrong both times. But they're a lot of fun to watch. I mean, it's one of those teams where when you get to know them, it's hard not to root. and, you know, obviously I can if they're playing a Unioto as Dane Trace, but – it looks like they're you know, if they take care of business, they're playoff bound, and you know, then I can kind of get out my rooting clothes and say, hey, you know, let's go Southeastern when they do score a touchdown. So I'm actually looking forward to that.
Shane, your thoughts on the game? And no, I don't think you attended, but I'm sure you were following everything.
Well, I certainly was. I'll be honest. My first thought after the game was how happy I was for Evan Gallagher, the head coach here at Southeastern. You know, Evan and I go back. We had been working together in the past a little bit, and as he moved on, you know, I've always followed him and have a high level of respect for the job he does. And you know, as a fan of the SVC, as a coach at a small school myself, you know, when I think over the last 25 years at Southeastern, you certainly don't think football. You know, I don't know. There in the late 80s, Mike Adams, they had a really good team. Derek, I think in like the fall of, it'd be 95, the seniors of 96, somewhere in there, they didn't even have football. They lost football for a year. You know, Netter was a special athlete there in the early 2000s. They had a nice team. And then, you know, here this team is, they're 0-10 their freshman year, and they win a little bit, and then they win a little bit more, and then now here they are at 7-0. So, you know, this is a big deal for Southeastern. I mean, usually, you know, as someone from afar looking at Southeastern over the years, football's always been something you do for 10 weeks to pass time till basketball shows up. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. What Evan has done with the culture and the excitement out there, it's a big deal for Southeastern, but it's also a big deal for the SVC in a day of enrollment and different things. I had this team at 8-2 to start the year, Derek. The fact that they have a chance to go 10-0, that's an amazing story. I mean, it's so I'm right there with you. I had football backwards as well as I've been able to peg volleyball in a lot of ways, and as well as I was able to peg football a little bit last year. I'm the first to admit the league has me turned around this year. I had it Zane Trace, Unio to Southeastern, and unless something crazy happens in the last 3 weeks, it looks like it's going to go Southeastern, Unio to Zane Trace. So, very, very, very interesting. So that was my first thought, Bruce. And then as I put that out on Twitter, I think this is the problem with Twitter. I kind of, I'm able to give my answer here on SVC Sports Talk, and you guys are always making fun of how long my answers are, but this is why you need to express exactly what you want to say, because on the condensed version of Twitter, you only get, you know, so many words to say your thoughts. Well, it leaves a lot of people room to fill in the blanks. And yeah, I'd made the comment. Look, I mean, anytime I'm covering a game, you know, I understand penalties and mistakes and bad calls. And gosh, especially if I'm a fan, if I'm sitting there and I have a rooting interest, boy, do I understand, you know, when I'm sitting here watching a Reds game, that ball or strike call or safe or out call, man, I'm passionate about that. Or if it happens in my Paint Valley game, I'm passionate about that. I understand. So I totally get it. And it's something we will talk about. To look at stats of 170-some yards of penalties and different things like that, to say that's not a story, it is. I was simply making the statement that that's not the headline I was going to start with. The headline I was going to start with is what I expressed on Twitter and what I've already expressed here tonight on SVC Sports Talk. Now, as we get into the game, absolutely, it's our job to talk about big storylines or big things that factored into the game, and to say that that didn't factor in would be silly. So sure, we'll talk about it throughout the night, but I think, you know, a lot of times what happens is you say, oh man, that was a bad call. You know, I've been at volleyball games this year. Earlier in the year, I was at a game where there was a yellow card in volleyball. It was a terrible call. Now, did it impact the outcome of the match? No, but it was still a bad call. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, I remember the Unio to Southeastern volleyball match. I thought there was a call in the fourth set of that match that, you know, didn't go Southeastern's favor. I didn't think it was a very good call. Now, was it the end all in the match? No, the end all in the match was when Southeastern got outscored 13-0 in the first set at one point. That was the impact of the match. So you're always going to say, oh, I thought that ball was in, I thought that ball was out, or oh, that was a terrible call, there's a hold there. Someone even referenced on Twitter, when we talk so much about the 27-4 free throw discrepancy, well, again, that's a big deal. That's a big stat. You talk about it. That particular night, more than the free throw discrepancy, if I remember the game they're referencing, we had like sections of the crowd kicked out. You know what I mean? That was a totally unique situation beyond just that free throw stat. So sure, when I report, I'm going to report foul differences. I'm going to report you know, different calls here and there, especially when I'm giving see, I have to remember too that people in this that look at SVC Sports Zone, people look at me as media sometimes, because you've heard me say for 10 years, Bruce, sometimes I forget that people look at me as media. Yeah. I just look at myself as a fat dude that likes to watch sports and talk about it. So, you know, so again, please understand when I tweet that out, I wasn't overlooking how valuable of statistic that was in breaking down. But at the same time, you know, Uniota's just got to be kicking themselves when they had so many opportunities and they had snaps that cost themselves 20 yards. And you're sitting there with one of the best field goal kickers in the league. Think of throughout the second or third quarter, if you're able to just add a field goal or different things, you could have went up 17-0, or if you were down 18-17 in that final 10 seconds, that's a chip shot for a kid like Robinson. So, I mean, it's just that there's so many things that have to go in. So I understand the passion of the bad calls. I certainly understand. It sounds to me, Derek, like there was two or three bad calls more than it was the overall stat. I mean, it sounds like Uniota understands, you know, 13, 14 of those mistakes were just their mistakes. But it sounds like there was two or three really key calls maybe that impacted the game. But, yeah, that's my take on it. Again, certainly talk about it because it's a big factor. I always talk about key calls, different things. But boy, I just think it's a really neat night for our league when you consider Southeastern doing it with the passing game. Ruby to Winfield there for two of those. Pretty neat story. And Derek, thought you did a nice job covering it with me being another game. Felt like I was there, snap to snap. So I certainly appreciate that.
My thumbs hurt at one point. I will say that from tweeting. All right, I completely understand what you're talking about with Twitter, though. I've been in your shoes a lot of times, Shane. So as soon as you tweeted that out, I was like, oh, you know, I can't wait for the replies to this one. So it was fun to watch for once, it not being me.
I know. I don't know whether it's germane really or not, Shane, because you're still going to have the same problem. But Twitter is in the process of rolling out doubling the space that you can tweet. So you'll have
to see, Bruce, I thought you would be proud of it because, see, Derek, here's the thing. Bruce has been on me for about 10 years now on SBC Sports Talk. Hey, stir it up a little bit. Generate some conversation. Do some different things. You're always so coach speak. You're always so this. So the first thing I thought of over the weekend is, oh, boy, man, I just made Derek. I made Bruce proud. Yeah. He's going to be proud of it.
I was just looking at your tweets I see where you you only got 23 likes on that particular tweet. So and it looks like you got two replies. So you still didn't.
Well,
stir it
stretched
up
into a life of its own. It turned into like two or three other people started arguing about old calls 2 years ago and stuff. It was entertaining. I'll give it that.
Well, Bruce, I got to ask you then, if you're watching, you know, the Twitter feed, you talk about coach speak, and I thought Shane really handled it well because I put him on the spot at Piketon. Uh-huh. On Thursday, uh-huh. I tweeted at him. I said, you know, if Cammy Chandler's not the player of the year, who is? And then I tagged him, and he goes, hey, you'll just have to listen to SVC Sports Talk.
I saw that. So. I saw that. Yes, he's doing then, much better.
And then, of course, I was the one to take the flack for that. So, see, we both had our moments.
Yeah. Well, we'll have that up in a couple weeks, I'm sure, with the player of the year and so forth. So stir the pot, guys. Go right ahead. Anything else you want to talk about particularly about that game, or do we move on to the rest of the league or what here?
Well, I think we move on to, okay, you know, before we leave football, we can, yeah, move on to that those final 3 weeks there.
Yep.
You know, the one follow-up that I did get was asking where does this leave us in the next 3 weeks,
right?
And you know, I guess for me, Bruce, you would think so, but I will throw this out there. You know, Southeastern has three road games. Did I read that schedule right, Derek?
Yes, they have correct.
Three road games left. And, you know, if you go back over the last 20 years, I know Zane Trace, obviously, in recent history has really taken control of the league. But if you go back over the last 20 years, Paint Valley and Westfall are as proud of programs as we have in football. And Edina would probably rival Piketon for that third spot. And again, Zane Trace, I know in recent history, would be there. But at Paint Valley, at Edina, at Westfall, it's at least enough to be interesting. I mean, Southeastern's going to go for a 10-0 gold bowl I doubt they're going to catch Nelsonville, Derek, but a number two seed in a home game. And obviously, if you're the two seed, you're going to play a really good team. It's probably a winnable game, especially at home. So I've always said I think Southeastern's kind of built for the postseason, too, with the way they can work up front. And man, their defense and their passing game has really kind of started to sell me here in the last couple of weeks as well. So, you know, Derek, what, you know, your take? I mean, obviously on paper it looks that way, but it's you still got to go play the games and get the job done. What's your thoughts on the final 3 weeks here that we're in for?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, the win, what that did for Southeastern, I think they understood what had just happened right after the game. I mean, they knew what they were playing for. You know, not only was it senior night, not only was it, you know, against a Uniota team, that let's not, you know, hide from the fact everybody likes to beat Uniota, right, because they win a lot. And so, other than those two things, I think they also knew, hey, if we just handle business now, we just solidified ourselves a home game in the playoffs. And that was a really cool moment just to be there and get to see those kids' eyes light up like, oh, my goodness, like, look at what we just did. And you could tell the light came on. But as you said, now they got to go take care of business. And I asked John Winfield after the game. I asked Evan Gallagher after the game, okay, you're 7-0, but you could be 7-3 after the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you keep these kids, you know, just even keeled? And just one game at a time. Because, I mean, Shane, how many times have you told a reporter, I don't know, like me, one game at a time, right? But, I mean, that's you said coach speak earlier, but, I mean, that's what you have to do now. And so, you know, for Southeastern, I think, obviously, they're in the driver's seat. They control their own destiny. But, yeah, I mean, over the next 3 weeks, I think they do handle business. And you know, I do think they host a playoff game. For the rest of the league, though, I'll throw it back to you, Shane. For Uniota, what does that do for their playoff chances? Because great chance of going 8-2. Do you think there's enough points out there? To me, they need a lot of help.
I'm going to go to my math genius here this week, NJ Kite down there at Vinton County, and have him crunch some numbers for us. like he always does. He's something else. He really is. But, I tell you, I don't know. I think it's going to be tough, you know, with where they're at right now. But, you know, I was intrigued by some of your writing, Derek, before we leave football this week. You know, one was just that, Zane Trace Uniota, if they don't have playoff opportunities, will they still finish strong with what their expectations were at the beginning of the year from where they're at now? I think they will. I think kids are resilient. I think they're both well coached. I think they will. The other things that have me baffled that I think are important for next year, you know, because I'm such a big fan. I'm all the time looking ahead to next year too, as certain teams, you know, Payne Valley starting to run the ball, and with this sophomore class as they get older, what are they doing? Adina, their freshman quarterback, looked really good the other night. He's coming along and doing some nice things. Westfall has me totally baffled. I know their junior class, they're high on them, and, you know, maybe they'll come back and they'll finally turn the corner next year. But, you know, with when you watch Spellman run the ball with the talent of a Gibson there, they're so talented with Lawler, and they're so talented at skill positions. You know, why they haven't been able to get it over the hump. And then, you know, Piketon had me confused at the beginning of the year, but now here they are. They're finding a way, 3-1 in the league. So, you know, as I go down through, Huntington seems to still be falling into identity in terms of the way they want to go about it. They didn't handle success very well from a week ago, beating Westfall for only the fourth time in school history, coming back and totally dominating the first quarter the other night, but not having anything to show for it. So it's just – yeah, all of those things are kind of in the notebook too, Bruce. So I think it's interesting because you have the Southeastern story, you have the Zane Trace Uniota story, but then you have all these other teams that is just as SVC football fans, you're kind of looking ahead. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe over the last 3 weeks, some of those things beyond the scores, we like to say, will be looked at.
Okay. Stay tuned. There's still, three more weeks to go. So we will cover those as we go along. Let's move now to our Hurry Up Offense, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Course.
Yeah, I mean, obviously last week we talked a lot about Crown Hill Golf Club. Certainly appreciate them. 740-986-4653. I know they continue to run some neat little events throughout the fall season here. So check that out. Give them a call. Again, that's 740-986-4653. And this week's theme, Bruce, with our volleyball brackets out today, it's their Selection Sunday, if you will. We thought we would take a look at the brackets throughout the fourth quarter. So let's go ahead and go our Hurry Up Offense.
Starting with our league leader in Uniotto, what is your reaction to the Division II tournament brackets?
Well, I think for Uniotto, I mean, you know, I think they got a good draw. I was looking at the brackets earlier, and, you know, as soon as they come out, that, by the way, Shane, this is one of my favorite times of year when they do come out. But, yeah, I mean, you look at a River Valley team, they should kind of breeze there. I hate to say that, but it's true. I've seen Jackson play Warren. That would be their next. And then, you know, they go into the district semifinal, you know, against a team like, if they hit a team like a Sheridan team, where maybe they could have some issues there. But with Uniotto playing the SEC, with them playing in, you know, against the Adena, the Southeastern, the Pitons. I really think they go into a district final, probably against the Logan Elm, and we get to see maybe their season either continue or end how it started. So,
yeah, I agree. I love the draw. You kind of already knew going in, Bruce, what to expect. You expected a sectional tournament where Uniotto is going to be a big favorite, playing at home. Feel like they're going to get the job done. You knew no matter how the district bracket unfolded, remember Division II only get the one team to the regional, so you knew it was going to be Uniotto, Logan Elm, Sheridan, Gallia, unless you get a big upset. So, you know, you're going to have to win two tough ones. At least you did stay away from Logan Elm till the final. So, Uniotto knows what's out in front of them. Obviously, they have a big week ahead of them, so they're going to put that on the back burner. But as far as getting what you wanted, yeah, Uniotto did in Division II, so I liked it.
In Division III, did you get what you were hoping for in terms of the SVC having the best chance possible to advance all of our best teams as far as possible?
Absolutely. It came out, and I wanted to put my hand up in the air and do a fist bump, because, you know, you got Piketon over here with, I really think they can beat that one seed of Willisburg at the Waverly 1 bracket if you look at the top. And then in the middle, you got Southeastern. I think Portsmouth, just let's say they do meet them in a district final. I think they beat Portsmouth. Or if Huntington can kind of get to a district final as a 3 seed, we've seen, you know, them sweep Huntington twice. And then you look at Adena, at the bottom there, and, you know, I think they kind of breeze there to a district title. So all three, though, kind of like last year, Shane, where we had Huntington, Southeastern, Adena, if you just switch Huntington from Piketon, I think that's who makes a regional tournament.
Well, Bruce, I love it. I love the bracket. Obviously, you knew going in that Southeastern was going to be a big favorite no matter where they went. They get into a bracket where, again, I think the argument is that Huntington's the second best team in there. Huntington, keep in mind, Derek's already beaten Portsmouth in straight sets on a Saturday afternoon. So Huntington's probably the second best team there. So Chillicothe, Huntington probably play for a championship there. So there's your SVC team out. Obviously, the favorite on paper would be Southeastern. Adena playing better and better all the time. Looks like they're going to have to go through a Westfall SVC opponent there, and then they go on out. Looks like Alexander is going to be their opponent there. Again, we know that Huntington also beat Alexander this year. So, again, Adena becomes a really heavy favorite there. And then, as Derek said, Piketon. I love the Nelsonville-York-Zane Trace rematch. Keep in mind, those two played a five-setter just, 2 weeks ago. So they're going to play. But you have to love Piketon. Piketon's losses coming to just these top teams that we've talked about, and they've been there. They've been through those district final wars, and you have to feel like if they can get themselves back there, that this team's ready to take that next step and go. So, in terms of giving yourself a chance, the SVC, Bruce, certainly got what they wanted there in Division III.
How about Paint Valley's chances in Division IV? Do you like the draw for the Lady Bearcats?
Well, Shane, I think, you know, this kind of goes, this is where it kind of goes south. I think they have a great chance of beating, White Oak there at the, as an 8 seed and get to Portsmouth Notre Dame. But, you know, if you're Paint Valley, you have got to be looking at a Portsmouth Notre Dame and saying, can we just stay away from these guys during the tournament? I mean, because it seems like since I've been here at the Gazette, that's every year. Like, they'll win that first game and then they got to go to Portsmouth Notre Dame. And so, obviously, we've seen Portsmouth Notre Dame. They played Piketon. They played Uniotto. Both wins for SVC schools. But, I think Paint Valley is – I'll put it this way. They're so much better fundamentally with Stacy there as their head coach. They're so much better fundamentally. And I don't think they get it done this year, but I do think they get a better seed next year. And they're steadily improving. You know, let's put it that way.
Well, Bruce, you know, Derek's on to something here. The biggest thing that Paint Valley has to figure out a way to do is push from 3 wins to a 6 or 7 mark and you would have watched the draw improve drastically. I do believe they'll beat White Oak in the first. Portsmouth Notre Dame is the 1D4 team in volleyball that's really, really legit. I had a chance to see them in person earlier in the year when they were a little bit banged up. Sounds like they're healthier now. I know they even took a set from Uniota. So obviously I don't like that matchup for Paint Valley. But I think, again, for the juniors there at Paint Valley that are going to be coming back, I think getting into that sectional final would be a great experience. Plus, if these eighth grade girls and some of these girls that are coming up are paying attention, the value of your regular season, we don't always think of these non-conference matches as being that important. I try to push this with my baseball guys all the time. Your record is what you know, at the end of the day, your record's going to be what it is going into the draw, and you need those wins. So I think that's going to be really important. Obviously, SBC matches are tough to win, so Paint Valley's got to continue to improve and try to build some momentum in the non-conference, and then here in a year or two, hopefully in the SBC, be able to be a little bit more competitive.
In a deeper look at all three brackets, what numbers would you set the over-under at for the SVC in terms of winning sectional, district, and regional championships?
I don't know about an over-under. I'm not a big betting guy, but I can tell you this, Shane. I've got, you know, what I like to do is fill out a bracket myself, kind of like March Madness. I told you, hey, Bruce called us nerds at the beginning of the show, so, I mean, I'm just, you know, following that stereotype. I've got six sectional winners, three district title winners, and I have somebody winning a regional championship. I will say that.
Well, it's certainly interesting, Bruce, because I guess if I were going to set an over-under, I would set it at 6.5. So Derek and I are close there. I think that, you know, with Uniota, Dena, Huntington, Piketon, Southeastern, even Westfall. I mean, Zane Trace is obviously the one that's in a tough spot, but I mean, they've proven that they can go there and play with them. But I see 6.5 is where I would set that, and you could debate between 6 and 7. For the district, I would set it at 3.5. I see no reason why we're not capable of winning three district titles at the D3 level. And then obviously Uniota is a contender, but again, you'd have to argue between, you know, 2, 3, and 4. And then at the regional level, I think, you know, Derek and I are on the same page, because I think you'd set it at 0.5, you know, and you'd argue between 0 or 1, you know what I'm saying? So it's one of those of I think that we're seeing the brackets the same way. It's going to be really fun. Can't wait to get it started and see if the same thing of the SBC setting the standard for volleyball in the Southeast District holds true again here in 2017.
And that is our Hurry Up Offense, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. Wow, you guys really are nerds, aren't you? You've got those. They came out today, correct? The brackets came out today, and you've already got that much thought into them. So, with football going on at the same time on TV,
you're welcome.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
you have to keep me honest. And I was thinking when Derek was saying, you know, Bruce called me nerd or called us a nerd, was, you know, if the shoe fits, that's all I said. All I thought about that.
Lace it up and wear it, right?
That's right, Betty. Lace it up and wear it. Anyway, let's move into a little bit more volleyball section. Wanted to ask you both your thoughts on this one came up. Piketon's Jordan Morris. Shane?
Yeah, what a great story. I want to give a shout out here to Derek too. Really appreciated the coverage. A lot of times when Derek and I are looking at the same things, I like to step back and kind of let him go and do his thing. Really hats off to you, Derek, on that coverage, the pictures, the video. What a well-spoken young lady. I thought that interview was outstanding. Some of the things she shared there, I really, really enjoyed that. But, you know, Bruce, she goes 1,000 kills for the career. And I think doing that in itself is incredible. But I think 1,000 kills when you are the secondary featured hitter, mm-hmm, is even more amazing. And let me share this with the fans here a little bit. You know, you usually are just simply going to get less swings. So remember last week when we were talking about X factors and things on the eye test that you pay attention to, this would be one of those things, guys. You know, a lot of times when you're starting in the back row, because obviously when you have Cammie Chandler, which is the best hitter and net player in our league, she's going to start there front left and come across first. So as the secondary featured, when Morris and Chandler are playing opposite I think it's worth mentioning that, you know, you're probably on average anywhere from 2, 3, 4 swings less per set play. Now, that doesn't sound like that much when you put it that way. But if you're 3 swings less a set, guys,
yeah.
Python's played like, I want to say like 60 some sets. I mean, that's 180 swings. You know what I mean? That's mind boggling when you consider that you go back and take that last year as well. So obviously, it's amazing to see classmates and teammates, just like we always talk about classmates coming across with one ball to share, scoring 1,000 points in basketball.
Yeah.
In this case, to watch these two come through and get 1,000. But I just thought, you know, to give a shout out and really highlight Morris's play here over the last couple seasons. When you think of Piketon here at 15 wins again, they went 15 last year. I think they win 12 her sophomore year. So many times what happens to those middle of the pack teams, Derek, is that big time player like Chandler will go to the back row. And how many times do you see some of those teams when their best hitter goes to the back, they get stuck there. They can't get out and they end up losing, where, you know, you saw an example the other night of what's happened so many times. They're in the fifth set when Westfall jumps out. Morris kind of just rights the ship, comes back, and then even at the end of it, it was kind of fitting that on her night, it was, 13-13, and she finishes it off with a couple. So, mm-hmm. You know, obviously there's no questioning the rotation. I mean, Cammy Chandler is big time. She's unique at the net. When you watch her leave the floor and swing, it looks unlike anything else you see in the league when it comes to just attacking and hitting. So at the net, you know, Chandler's there, but I think Morris is an equal talent in terms of her ability to take over a match. And I think that was really neat for me to see, Derek. So again, hats off to you on that coverage. I know you followed her throughout her career. Just maybe share some of your thoughts as well.
Yeah. I mean, well, first off, you know, I see what you're saying, but I didn't do anything. Jordan Morris did all that. You know, I put down words on paper, but she made it happen. You know, I think we all know, just kind of from your comments, you know, we all know what type of player she is, right? So, you know, I'll talk about her character. Because, again, we know what type of player she is. We know she's elite, and we know that on any other team, she's a player of the year candidate, right? I mean, this year, to me, she's a defensive player of the year candidate, just because of what she does in the back row. But her character, you have to think, Shane, you mentioned, you know, she does play with Cam, and they're good friends, but she plays and she kind of has played in her shadow, because, you know, you get a hitter that, you know, that has a 35 kill game or a 33 kill game. And she did that the other night at Westfall. You know, a lot of times you maybe get frustrated because they're always talking about Cammy Chandler. You know, well, what about me? I have never seen Jordan Morris ever act that way.
She's just
class from top to bottom. You know, when I talked to her after the video the other night, she said, "Hey, thanks for all you do."
Hmm.
And you know, it's really tough. That's the tough part of my job. And I think I've said this before. And Shane, I know you can relate being a coach. The toughest part of my job is seeing kids like Jordan Morris graduate, because you miss them playing. Like, you miss seeing them. You miss going to Piketon and saying, "Oh, I got Jordan Morris to watch tonight. She's going to get 1,000 kills." Or she's fun to watch. She's good at what she does, right? So, you know, she's definitely somebody that the Gazette will miss. You know, I'll miss seeing. But I'm looking forward to, you know, covering her in that tournament run. And I think that, you know, her and her running mate, Cammy Chandler, and the rest of the team there, you know, I think they got a good chance to go pretty far. I will say this and kind of close the conversation with this. You know, I asked her what her expectations were in this you know, upcoming postseason run. She said, I want a district title. And that was it. I mean, it was short, simple, and straight to the point. So, you know, she's got that work ethic. She's got that drive, and she has that goal. And I really think, you know, this is the year they accomplish that.
She seemed pretty eloquent to me in that interview.
Absolutely.
Was something that really stuck out to me. I mean, doesn't say anything about her abilities. I mean, I know they're great, but she just seemed like a good person, like you said.
Well, she, you know, when we were done, I said, "Well, you act like you did that before." Because a lot of times when you put a kid on camera, they get camera shy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to take a couple videos and then edit. And that was all one take. Hmm. So, yes, very personable.
Okay. Well, appreciate that, and appreciate your input there on that, Derek. Okay, guys, I'm going to ask you both for a key thing to look at in the final week of SVC play. I'm going to switch things up. Obviously, beyond the Uniota Southeastern match here that we all know is coming up, but what's a key thing? And I'm going to go to Derek first on this one.
You know, for me, honestly, to me, I just think it's imperative that our team stay healthy. You know, don't go out and twisting ankles or diving for balls you don't need to dive for in the stands. I mean, just stay healthy. You know, right now there's only a couple spots in the SVC where, you know, kind of up for grabs. I know that, you know, you've got Pike and Adina both there at 7-5 and then Zane Trace and Westfall 4-8. So, you know, a couple could move here and there, but really from three down, I mean, you know, just stay healthy. The top two, obviously, as you said, Uniota and Southeastern, and you know, they're in a conference title race, so yeah, you got to go out there
we'll
and handle business.
But
yeah, but for three down, I mean, from Pike and Adina, Zane Trace, Westfall, Huntington, and Payne Valley, just stay healthy. I mean, that's what I'm looking for.
Shane,
I could see coaches now, you know, mad at Derek because their kids are going to play hard this week because right? He said not to dive for balls and stuff. You know, I think obviously we'll talk about those two in a second. That's well said there. For me, it's looking at these standings, though. I still think there's a lot to play for. When I look at Adina plays Zane Trace Westfall, Huntington plays Westfall Paint Valley, Piketon plays Southeastern Zane Trace, you know, the Westfall Huntington matchup becomes really, really important. I mean, you're talking about teams that could finish anywhere from fifth to seventh place. Third place is still up for grab. You know, so there's a lot of things to play for there. And I think that's going to be interesting to see some of these matches because you're going to take an entire week off pretty much in Division III. So playing at a high level this week is going to be really, really important so that you can get into the gym that following week, get rested up and tweak some things in your rotation. The only other thing I'll throw out there too, Derek, Maddie Everts on what she's averaging looks mm-hmm. like somewhere maybe on her home court in the sectional tournament mm-hmm. is going to probably become the all-time leader in the SVC and assists. That's a really cool side story too when you think about one of the real special leaders and winners in our league. So that's another side note. I don't think she can get there in the regular season, Bruce, but it looks like on her pace because they have a non-league game Monday night. And so it looks like somewhere in that sectional tournament she's going to do that.
Okay, let's talk about the 800-pound gorilla that's in the room, this being the Thursday night matchup of Uniota at Southeastern. So we're taping this on Sunday. We've got Tuesday night action still to come. But Uniota needs to win for the a gold ball season, and Southeastern needs a win to share the title on Thursday night. Your thoughts on the game, Shane?
Well, again, obviously, as Bruce says, Tuesday night they still have to hold serve. But you know, assuming they do, you know, we're right back where we started, just the way we thought we would be there a couple weeks ago, Derek, when we were watching that. Just an amazing. I don't think I've watched a better SVC event yet. Now, obviously, you had the privilege of seeing the football version of these two schools the other night, but. I returned to a lot of the same keys. I felt like we really had this match pegged well the first time around. I think serving is huge. I think Southeastern with their risk reward serving. I thought they were very timid in the first couple sets at Uniota, Bruce. I thought once they got behind and they felt like they had nothing to lose and they got a little bit more aggressive, I thought that's when they went. They have seven different servers because they even have Skeens that comes off the bench. They have seven different servers that average 0.4 or higher, which is pretty much about a top 15 in the league. You know, with the way Skeens is really been able to use that jump serve. She's really become one of the great servers in our league, and Goble has a nice serve. And yeah, you go down through some of the aces there. I know that DeLong and Heiss and company can really do some things with their serving. So I think that's going to be important. Uniota serving as well. Southeastern really struggled in serve receive. Obviously, if you free ball the ball back over to Uniota, that's not going to work real well with their hitting attack and the way Everts can really spread you out. I know the one thing we mentioned in text, Derek, that you and I were sharing with Coach Hutton, they've been really working on their blocking and their defense mm-hmm. at the net. I think that's going to be a factor. Again, I think that's where Pinkerton's ability to pass and really allow Everts to survey that net. She has so many different weapons that I think she becomes very valuable there and her ability to do that. I guess the one side note before I throw it over to Derek too is with Coleman out, that's something that's going to be interesting. If the accuracy of the Southeastern serve is able to pick on some matchups, that could possibly take Pinkerton out of the match a little bit. and force a couple of these Unieta role players in the passing game to maybe get involved. So going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to watch it. You know, Derek, as you look back, you know, 2-3 weeks ago there and now ahead to this one, again, we're going to be the big time winners getting to watch this. Just your thoughts on the match.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. You got to, I guess it's, this is, again, we're lucky that we can just sit back with a hot dog and watch, you know, somebody else battle it out, you know, and entertain us. But you're right. I mean, you know, this one's for, as they say, what, for all the marbles, right? You know, Southeastern, I know they wanted that gold ball. Not going to get that. But after that loss, I did talk to Coach Hunton, and, you know, I said, hey, you know, what was your message in the locker room? And, you know, they said, you know, our message is Uniota's not getting the gold ball. So, I mean, they've been ready since they left Uniota's gym. And then, of course, the Uniota momentum, right? I mean, they've got so much. And I love talking to Coach Natalie Stelly there. You know, they did beat Adina this past week. And they got beat in the first set and took the next three pretty handily, and especially the last two. And she said, hey, not a good night. It was like, beat Adina in four sets. Like, what do you mean, not a good night? You beat Adina in four sets. And she's just like, no, we played sloppy. So, you know, there's that never quit attitude, you know, that we can always improve on something. We can always get better. So, yeah, I mean, just kind of kind of a clash of the Titans, if you would.
Yeah, and Bruce, I think that's worth mentioning. And again, you've heard me say it some. I think Natalie's been really good for this group from an intensity standpoint and a fire in an expectation standpoint. So I give her a lot of credit there. And it'll just be interesting to see if Pinkerton defensively and Everts just as an all-around star can really be the difference here. We've talked about how these two sets of five hitters on both sides kind of offset each other. It'll be interesting to see if those two can really impact the match the way they did at Uniota, or if Southeastern serving and defense can kind of step up and match that. Really looking forward to it.
Okay, and that's the big match coming up on Thursday night. So let's head now to our playing through segment.
Yeah, we'll give Crown Hill Golf Club another shout out. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. And as we did last week, it just makes a lot of sense to give Crown Hill Golf Club the shout out here because they were so involved in so much of what was going on. So we'll talk about that here in just a second. But first, let's mention in the Division III action, I thought it was a great experience for the likes of Duncan at Paint Valley and Rickendaller and Murda and Henneberger. Just maybe those were a little bit beyond expectations for them to make it that far, Derek. So I thought that was a neat story and a great experience for them to go down there to Portsmouth and play. That was so many of them getting to come back and try it again. I mentioned all year long on the junior high scoreboard, Maddie Schultz and her ability. You know, kind of look at this, guys, on the girls. I was looking there at the grades. The Waterford team that's been so elite, those girls have been at it 3-4 years. They're going to graduate the house. And if you look at what's coming back, the minute Schultz puts the tee in the ground in high school, that team becomes about 25 to 30 strokes better. That's fascinating. So if you look at what they have coming back in girls golf, they really have an opportunity to make a push for the state in 2018. So that's a neat thing to watch. And then, as we mentioned, Crown Hill Golf Club, that was the site of the Division II. Uniota State Band, their top two guys really showed up big time with Showblock 78 and Calvin 81. The Gerbers, Luke and Levi, with the high 80 rounds. Obviously, Rose didn't play as well as he wanted to, but again, that's why you have teammates. They pick him up, and maybe it'll be him this week that shines, you know, on the big stage. So incredible year for Piketon. They were really close. I thought they were a little bit ahead, slightly ahead of where I thought they would be. So hats off to them and that tradition that they've established here in golf. Westfall all coming back, really impressed with them and how they've pushed in golf and so forth. And I think, again, Crown Hill Golf Club deserves a lot of credit for that and what they do to promote golf. But for now, the story is Uniota. They go to North Star this week. I believe it's Friday. They'll be off the back nine there, and Derek, it looks from about 9:50 up through around 10:30. They'll go off from 5 back to 1. So it looks like Calvin and Showblock will be the last off there around 10:20, 10:30. For people not familiar with North Star, it's a John Cook design. You know, obviously John Cook was an Ohio guy, so a lot of his work up in that central Ohio area. They have about 6 tees up there, so they can play up to about 7,000, you know, almost 7,600 yards. Obviously, they won't do that in high school. tackle. You're looking probably more the tees they'll place probably some more in the 6,000s. It's about the size of a if you look between the white and the blue tees at JC's, I'm guessing that's somewhere in the yardage they'll play. But the big thing about North Stars, there's a lot more trouble, a lot more water. So the practice rounds will be really key. Coach Drum and Coach Taylor do such a good job. They don't get nearly enough credit for the preparation they give these kids. So really looking forward to following Uniota. You know, Derek, just your thoughts as you see this Uniota team go through the year and control our league and now get a chance to go to the biggest stage and represent our conference.
Yeah, excited to be there, excited to see them. Long day for me Friday, Shane, going up there on Friday, then coming back to cover football that night. So, but hey, I have to drink a lot of coffee. Jacob Calvin, Tyler Choblock, Max Rose, the Gerbers, I mean, all of those kids are great. I think a lot of times what we don't talk about is Coach Dan Drummond and how great he is. Just such a people person. He's making those, young men better young men. But then, of course, he knows his way around the golf course as well. So every time you talk to him, always so nice, so personable. And so I'm happy for him as well, just to get back to the state tournament after kind of missing it last year. And, I'm looking forward to it. I was there 2 years ago. It's a really nice golf course if you haven't been there before. And if you're like me and you like to sit and watch, the clubhouse is a really nice view. So
you don't leave the clubhouse?
What is it?
You don't leave the clubhouse?
No, I do. After I take some pictures, then I go in and give me some hot chocolate. Of course, it was cold 2 weeks ago, and just kind of hang out. So
tough day.
Well, Bruce, real quick, too, I'm glad he mentioned that. I mean, yeah, Coach Drummond, was my high school coach, and that was really well said. I mean, he obviously people say he's had a lot of talent over the years. I don't think people understand how much he's helped develop some of that talent. You know, I mean, he still to this day, he's been at it 30 years. I know he'll do some clinic work and some different things, throughout the summer or leading up to his season and different things. And so he's already helping some of these kids that are going to be coming up through elementary and into junior high. And it's a really neat thing to see. I know that he spends a lot of time preparing his kids for courses and different things. So, I can't say enough about him. One of the, if not the best, certainly in that discussion, a top 2-3 coaches really in the history of our conference, any sport.
Well, great. We'll be looking forward to hearing about the results next week and later in the week in the paper and so forth. So it's time now for our post-game comments brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. Again, 106 West Main Street in Circleville. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. Look them up for SVC local school apparel. They've got fitness gear, headwear, sports equipment, and all kinds of sports accessories. And tell them the folks at SVC Sports Talk sent you. Well, Derek, it has already been established that this is going to be a very busy upcoming week for you, given your schedule that you talked about even before we started taping. So why don't you kind of give a brief description here of your upcoming week for the folks?
Well, I mean, I'm somewhere at a live event every night. If you're looking to go to a soccer game, I would go. Make sure you're at Uniota on Tuesday night. They have Chillicothe and Uniota's girls soccer teams, which is a 1-2 seed in that Division II tournament. Could possibly be a kind of a preview of a district final there. So that'll be a heck of a game. I'm looking forward to that. Then, of course, hey, Thursday, Uniota Southeastern volleyball, doing that. But we also got features on Aaliyah Pelfrey. She was a Piketon grad, the first to ever have 1,000 kills at Piketon. She just got 1,000 kills for Rio Grande. So we'll have that story, and there's also, if anybody's into collecting sports cards, we've also got a local kind of a famous vintage sports car or sports card collection. He goes around the country and grades sports cards collection. So he's coming into town this week as well. So we'll have that story as well.
All right. Shane, what are we watching beyond the scores this week?
Derek, are you saying cards, as in like baseball cards?
Yes, like baseball cards, huh?
May have to get my old binder out there.
There you go.
Yeah. The down in mom's basement there. But, really, Yeah, really, I go beyond the scores here a little bit. Obviously, a lot of those same games that he's talking about, and you know, we've already mentioned the Uniota Golf, and we mentioned the different football matchups and so forth. For me, beyond, I think we start to maybe peek at some computer points. Again, try to get our math nerd on that for us a little bit. We don't want to forget about some of the tennis matchups coming up. But I start to look at some of the volleyball all-league. Obviously, next week is one of our high most featured shows of the year, where we name our all-league selections for volleyball. That's going to be have some intense debate, I'm sure, as we divide those into three teams, and Derek and I always enjoy doing that. Also starting to get some comments on the winner. You know, this happens naturally as teams start to fizzle in the fall. Some people start to get geared up, a little basketball talk in the Facebook Messenger there, in the inbox had one. People getting a little excited for some winter stuff and asking some different plans that we have for SVC Sports Talk and so forth there. So I think those are some of the key things. So let us know your opinions on the all-league selections in volleyball. Let us know your thoughts for upcoming winter season as well. But then obviously we'll continue to break down the brackets. We'll get the soccer posted. We'll get the volleyball posted, and we're looking for a great postseason there. So, well, guys, I appreciate another great week, another show. Looking forward to just an incredible show next week that seems to be always highly anticipated. So until that show next time here on the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk, we want to thank all of our sponsors as well as the main sponsor, Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Thank you, Bruce Knox, and all the people there at DBK Media Services for what you do. And for you, Derek Webb, thanks as always. Fans, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.